We move this thing into hour number three. What's going on? A tremendous Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. And I hope your week's off to a great start. In case you missed it, we had Robert Griffin III on earlier. Phone lines are open right now, 1-800-636-8686. More phone calls coming up. We're hitting on the NFL draft. We're hitting on the NBA playoffs and a whole lot more. And joining us to elevate this conversation is the CEO of Sumer Sports, which provides quantitative analysis to create precision for NFL teams in player acquisition and roster management. On top of that, he's a 28-year vet of the NFL. He spent 13 seasons as the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons. He is a two-time NFL Executive of the Year. He won a couple of Super Bowls as a member of the Patriots front office. He's a good friend of mine in the program. He is Thomas Dimitroff. Thomas, my man, how are things? How you doing?
Romy, I'm so excited to be on. It's crazy. This year's draft has been wild. I know you know that. Unbelievable.
No, it's been incredible. In fact, it's great to have you back on. Let me just follow you up right there. It is a crazy, wild draft. What makes it so, in your opinion, and what kind of stands out? What are your biggest takeaways?
Obviously, where we're going with offensive run versus, you know, no defensive players until 15. That, to me, is an unreal approach. That what that means, as you know, is there were better players, simply stated, on the offensive side of the ball in all. I think the quarterback situation, of course, which is probably a perfect segue into what you want to talk about. I really like this quarterback group this year, like a lot of people did, and I do believe there's not another quarterback group coming like this in the next year or two, so it might precipitate some reasons why people made certain moves. But I did love what you're getting in this quarterback group, to be honest with you.
We're talking to Thomas Dimitroff. All right, so what about, I mean, not only are you a former GM, but the former GM of the Falcons, you've already hit on this, but let me ask you, I mean, because you're qualified to weigh in on the team's decision to take Michael Penix Jr. after signing Kirk Cousins, what was your reaction as the pick was being made when you were co-hosting Sumer's live draft show on your YouTube channel?
I think I was taken aback only because, like a lot of people, I figured that it was going to be defensive-minded, given the fact that Raheem Morris is there and he's such a strong defensive coach. Understanding what they did, of course, even more so with Kirk Cousins. That said, I have been pretty outspoken that all teams should be looking up in the top three to decide whether they could potentially move up, including the Falcons, only to look at what is there. Everyone knew that would be massive booty, Jim, to go up into the top three. This guy, Michael Penix, it's not about drafting Michael Penix. He is a damn good quarterback. It's about the combination of the two, obviously, which has become complicated conversation for most here.
We're talking to Thomas Dimitroff. So if you're Kirk Cousins, he admitted that he was stunned by the pick. Of course, he's saying all the right things right now, but how do you think he really feels about that pick? And when Raheem says, hey, listen, he doesn't need to be looking over his shoulder, Thomas, does he need to be looking over his shoulder?
I think he needs to be every day of his life competing for his job because that is life in the NFL. And I think Kirk Cousins is a great guy. He's a great competitor. And Michael Penix is coming in not to be delaying this 5 years. He's not looking to wait for 5 years to play. He's a competitor. He's also 24 years old. So his mind is thinking, okay, maybe let's just get rolling on this. So I think both of these quarterbacks are going to be competing heavily to do what they're doing. Of course, when you pay a lot of money to Kirk Cousins, you're expecting, and this is one of the things that I was trying to deduce. I don't want to speak for Arthur Blank and the Falcons because that's not my place, but you know, as we've talked before, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, this is an opportunity to win now with Kirk Cousins, and you know, they're not expecting to win a handful of games. They're expecting to take this very far into the playoffs, potentially make a run at the Super Bowl. So there are big expectations to win now for this fan base that Arthur Blank knows is very, very important. He is one of the most competitive owners out there. He is about giving the fan base and the organization as much as they can financially to win and win now. That's where it becomes, you know, it becomes a debate, of course, in Atlanta.
Thomas Dimitroff is joining us. So you started off by saying it's pretty amazing. That first round opened up with 14 consecutive offensive players being taken. So not a ton of buzz surrounding the other side of the ball. What do you make, though, of the defensive players that came off the board? Like, for instance, who do you think are the defensive players that are going to prove to be the most valuable from this draft?
Oh, I sit there and I think about where some of these players are. Like, Latu was a guy who came off. He was the first one off, right, at 15. I'm sure you've watched him. He's a guy that, you know, catches your attention on the ability to get up and around the corner and be a legit pass rusher. Everyone knows how important pass rushers are in this league. You and I have talked about that before as well. If you can't get a pass rusher and you're not affecting the quarterback, you're obviously in a really tough spot. I love what Philadelphia does. I don't know where you are with Howie Roseman on that. He's a trading monster. The fact that he gets Quinyon Mitchell, I mean, you get a guy like that in, you know, from Toledo, a guy who we think is one of the better cornerbacks to come along in a while, and he can trade around and move up and get him, as well as getting another corner in the second round in Cooper DeJean. I mean, these are important moves for them. Obviously, what people were thinking about, you know, where Minnesota does, where they get to and where they moved around, right? They were trading up and around. They get a really top-end pass rusher as well from Alabama. And, you know, these are all people that are affecting. But the fact that these players were going from 15 to 25, to me, is very, very interesting for the way that the defenses are going to develop in this league, right? That's a big deal.
You know, you mentioned you don't know where I come out on Howie Roseman. I think the guy's a freaking genius. Like, this guy's just playing the game at a different speed. You're somebody who's done that job. You know what it's like to be in that room. You know what it's like to work those phones. Where do you come out on Howie Roseman?
Same thing. Love Howie. Love Howie's aggressiveness. I am not a sit-on-the-hands type of person, as you probably know from my moves. I mean, I like the nickname of Trader Thomas while I was here, because I was about moving up. Not that you can't move back. Howie's very creative moving up, moving back, moving sideways. He'll always knock on the door looking for deals that will better that organization. You know what he did. He had to deal with Chip Kelly and that relationship. He came out on top of it. He continues to win there, which I think is admirable. And most people, though they may be jealous of his ability to be creative, they know that they all admire him beyond in this league.
I'll tell you what, Thomas, I don't know that if that guy were to call me, I don't know that I'm picking up the phone. I mean, like, you want to have confidence in your own abilities, of course, but I don't know that, given this guy's track record, I don't know that I want that phone call. You know, go ahead.
We laughed back in the day, because when we first started doing deals together, he was asking me for second rounders on every player, and I said, wait a minute, Howie, not every player is worth a second rounder, to your point. And we had a lot of fun like that over the years in dealing and trading with each other and talking about trades. But you're right. You have to be on your toes. If you're a young GM and you're trying to make your way in this league, or even an older GM who may not be as mentally acute as they used to be, look out.
We're talking to Thomas Dimitroff. So you mentioned the quarterbacks. Where do you come out on Bo Nix ending up going number 12 to the Denver Broncos? Do you think that Denver overreached in taking him that high? And what do you think of his pro prospects?
So I like Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix is a high competitor. He's mature, which a guy like Sean Payton really appreciates. Sean is going to go in there. This guy's a smart football player. He has experience. I know he moved from Auburn over to Oregon, and he really started thriving in Oregon. I like seeing that change and that ability. Tough, hard-nosed guy is going to run the rock when he has to, but he can also create within a system, which is very good for a guy like Sean Payton to have around him. This is another move for George Payton, the general manager. That's a tough spot to be in after the Russell Wilson thing. That they sat tight there. They didn't move back. They got the guy they wanted. Maybe they could have moved back two or three or a handful of picks. But I think they got a quarterback that they can grow with. And I'm a big believer, and I think you know this. I would start my quarterbacks in this first round out the gate. Make sure you get the right people around them. Supporting cast was huge for us and Matt Ryan. I believe it has to be that way for these young quarterbacks. But they need to play soon, in my mind.
So I appreciate that fact. Where do you make, I mean, if six quarterbacks went in the first 12 picks and then not another one went until the fifth round and that other one was Spencer Rattler, what do you make about his drop? Why do you think he dropped as far as he did?
Well, there was talk about, the league is funny when they start doing their research on players, Jim, and you know this. Over the years, there have been some guys who have had a little bit of a character issue about them, and they've dropped. Or they might have dabbled in smoking too much weed or whatever it was. We often joked around about it when a player comes out and he's potentially tested positive at a school, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, that means 28 times. That's kind of a joke. But the reality is football people tend to really dig in and try to determine the levels of what they have to deal with. A quarterback's situation, however, Jim, is very different than another position on the field, right? Those guidelines and the benchmarks are so high that something that might be a little bit concerning, teams will really dive into and they'll really scrutinize that player. The fact that people are commenting on the Netflix special with Spencer, I'm not sure where that really comes from. What I will say is people have done their due diligence, continue to dig in on it. I don't believe that was the reason he dropped that low. It might have been. There are certain elements of his game. You know, who knows what it could have been. It could have been his ability to really process as the things were flying around. And decision-making for anyone in this league is complicated, let alone when you're being drafted as a quarterback to come in and hopefully take over a team.
I agree with you. There's no way to me that guy's a fifth-round draft pick because of a Netflix show that was shot when he was in high school. He's a fifth-round draft pick because the league evaluated him as a fifth-round draft pick. Would you agree?
I agree. 100%.
All right, so since one non-draft question, because, again, you are uniquely positioned to weigh in on this because you work for Bill Belichick in New England and Arthur Blank in Atlanta, what do you make of that recent ESPN report that Robert Kraft warned Arthur, quote, not to trust Bill, and that Belichick was, quote, extremely difficult to work with? Can I get your reaction to that?
The only thing that I thought about that way, about that, honestly, Jim, was Arthur Blank is a very strong man and has his own strong opinions about how he wants to do things. And, you know, of course, he's like anyone in this league, people are always going to look and try to gather the right information. When I looked at that whole thing and when I watched the documentary, the Patriot documentary, I was amazed at a lot of the stuff that was said, meaning there was a lot of discussions about who was responsible for what. And so I don't know exactly how it was, but in the very end, I think, as I understand, not speaking for Arthur, you know, he did what he thought was best for the organization in hiring Raheem. And as you know, Raheem, highly, highly positive, energetic man to come into this organization and, you know, kind of bolster what was lacking over the last couple of years, unfortunately.
Love his energy. Love Raheem's energy. What about, before you go, Thomas, what about the wide receivers? Like, for instance, you believed in Julio Jones enough when he was coming out of Alabama to use the sixth overall pick on him in the 2011 draft, and obviously that paid major dividends. How impactful do you think this year's collection of receivers is going to be led by Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I love this draft class of receivers. I thought it gave people an opportunity truly to move back and acquire more picks, of course, as we know. I also believe that there were players that were in the second round or later first round that are going to be, I think, significant impact type of players. But when you're talking about Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers kicking it off, that was somewhat synonymous with, you know, Julio Jones and A.J. Green back in the day, right? Different makeups, of course, but it's a conversation to decide which one really fits in with the system. Both of those guys, I think, are fantastic. I love Malik Nabers and the way that he runs his routes, his ability to separate, by the way, which is a massively important thing. And then someone asked me today about the Chiefs and what they did with Worthy and bringing in a guy who's smoking it in 4-2-9 or whatever it was. I can't remember the exact number. Those people are outrageously difference makers with the speed if you can get them the ball properly. So I love seeing what they're doing in Kansas City, bringing that back another speed guy to replace who left to the Dolphins, of course.
Hey, Thomas, I do too. I love that pick for KC, but I got to admit, I didn't love Buffalo making that deal with KC, their arch rival, and they add a burner to their wide receiver room. What did you think about that deal that Buffalo made?
We've always talked about it as team builders and general managers that you try to avoid trading with your nemesis, right? Your competitors like that. I was a little bit surprised. I will say Brandon Bean is a really smart football man.
Agreed.
And he knows what he's doing. So yeah, he must have seen and they must have discussed as well head coach Sean McDermott. I have a great deal of respect for that group. So they must have looked at it in a way that they were trying to get more, you know, to build more on the back end into the end value. When you start looking at the value of the second, you know, beyond the first round, there's some very good value picks out there, and I think they were probably thinking along those lines.
No, I think you're right. I agree with you. I just can't imagine them helping their arch nemesis that they can't get over. But then I see Keon Coleman, and maybe it's just content to me, but did you see the young man at his intro presser and the kind of vibe and the kind of chemistry or the kind of charisma that he was throwing off? Does that pique your interest at all, or are you just kind of looking at this thing really analytically?
I try to look at it as analytically as possible, although, I mean, I am a big people person and a believer in what that person is bringing to your organization and how they're going to keep things positive and who's going to lead along with the quarterback, and I think that's a really important part. But I did not spend time really analyzing Keon Coleman and his approach.
Thomas, your energy is just off the charts, even for you. You're supposed to be tired after the draft, man. What are you running on right now?
You know what's funny? I had a great ride the last 2 days. But by the way, I have only taken a long bike ride before any draft of all of my life, in the 28 years, especially as a GM. I was out there the other day feeling a little bit melancholy not going in to make picks. Maybe that's all just kind of bundled up right now.
Seriously, you still feel that way? I mean, I respect it, but you still get those kind of pangs, don't you?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, this is such a wonderful sport, and we know why we love it so much. There's so much passion in it and passion about building something that can be special and know that you're going to win. I say it all the time. There's nothing like it. You know, there's nothing like the emotion of pulling down a Super Bowl. I was never able to do it as a GM, but I was able to do it around some great people in New England. And, you know, there's a pang for that forever in my life.
All right, but you're killing it in business, and you're the CEO of Sumer, and you're still working very closely with teams. Does that approach that feeling, or does nothing approach that feeling?
I don't think anything truly approaches it. I love, you know, successes in business as I'm learning about this business, as you can imagine. But, you know, listening to your pods, talking about life after 55 or 55 and on, it's different. It's all about longevity, right? Keep the passion and positive passion and persevering elements of our personalities. I think it goes a long way. And I always have to keep that in mind, of course.
No, I appreciate that. I'm trying to let you go, but you keep saying interesting things. How much of that is about those bike rides? How much of those bike rides help you? And then are you mixing in weight training too? What are you doing to stay as fit and as positive and as energetic and as clear mentally as you are?
You know, I think the bike rides are really important for me, of course. I love physicality. I have a home in Boulder, Colorado, which I love getting to as well, being there, being able to be out in the mountains, being able to mountain bike and road ride. I'm a big believer, as you know, you and I have talked about being mindful about, you know, our food and how we approach it. I think I've mentioned recently that I am pescatarian, but I'm very mindful of making sure that I am keeping all the proper ingestion of making sure that my stomach and my world is feeling good. I'm talking internally, right? Because we know how important it is to be on top with what we're eating and how we're making sure that we're cleansing ourselves. Recently, I just got into something that people were advertising here, and it's this new bed out there, this immortal bed thing, which is fascinating. And I think where they're going right now with longevity, you and I just need to continue to tap into that.
My man, you're killing that part of it. I'm not. I'm failing in two large areas that you just mentioned, gut health and sleep. So I need to work on those things. You know, it's interesting. One last thought. So we sent our younger son to Boulder. He's a freshman at the college right now. And Thomas, he played high school baseball, so he was really active in the weight room, getting a lot of things done. It's kind of funny. He hasn't gained any weight. The kid is rail thin. He's like 6'2". I don't know what he weighs right now, but he dropped a ton of weight. He's not picked up any weight since going to college, but he's not in the gym at all, and part of it is the weather, all right? So what's my advice to the kid? Like, he'll hit the mountain. He'll hit the mountain, but he's not out. He's not going to the gym at all. So what am I going to tell this kid?
No, I love that. You asked me about weight training, and I realize more and more I'm getting back into weight training because I know how important it is on the core side of things and the explosiveness side of things. Yeah, it's so hard when you're in Boulder, man. There's so many cool things to do there that pique your interest, but you got to be underneath that iron, man. There's no question about it. You and I need to. And how old is he right now?
He's 19. He's 19.
Yeah, man. That's pretty cool to have him there, though. Hopefully he just continues to learn how important it is to get that strong base going for sure.
No doubt. Thomas Dimitroff, he is the CEO of Sumer Sports. Very, very good friend of mine personally and of the program. My man, you have never sounded better. You have never been better. Appreciate you so much, and especially the advice on the back end. Thomas, thank you so much. We'll do it again soon.
Love being on. Thanks so much, Jim.
You're my dude. Thomas Dimitroff, I love that conversation. And before you say, hey, Rome, that's a reinvention project. Oh, I know. No, I know. He inspires the hell out of me. And for a number of different reasons. You know, somebody in his 50s who understands longevity, he's pushing himself mentally, he's pushing himself physically. And I love also that he admits, yeah, man, I miss it. I miss it. I miss that juice. I miss that energy. Of course you want to build something. And he is building something. That's the irony. He's building a great business where he's the CEO, but still readily admits, yeah, but it's not the same as building a championship team. Love that. Really admire him. Love his energy. All right. Your reaction to it. I've got a lot more content to get to. I love that. Two great conversations today. RG3 and Thomas Dimitroff. Interesting they said, too, when I laid out what's the importance of this or that. We're talking about feeling good. You got to feel good. This helps. Relief factor. They know exactly what we're talking about. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. You want to feel good every single day. When you don't feel good, it impacts not only your day, but the rest of your life. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free, developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. That is so important to me. Searching for a better alternative for relieving pain, whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help you feel better. Relief Factor does not just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. That's key. Something else is really important here. In 3 weeks or less, you'll know if it's working because you will feel the difference all day, every day. Relief Factor is not simply about feeling better. It's about living better, living the life you want to live, doing the activities that you love. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. 1-800-4-RELIEF. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. All right, so Philly fan, quickly. Help me understand this because I don't. The hell happened to you this weekend? I mean, y'all pleased with yourselves? Y'all happy you let New York come make themselves right at home in your home? Are you all okay with getting straight up owned by New York? Because that's what happened. And I thought you hated their guts. I mean, I know you hate most things, but I thought you really, really hated New York. And I don't want to hear a bunch of excuses either. You know, especially the excuse that you actually hate your own team. You're tired of your reigning MVP and you hate this team. Yeah, Philly fan, we know. We know. We get it. We know. You guys don't need to tell us you hate the Sixers. You don't need to tell us you hate anything. We get that too. We know you hate most things, which now apparently includes these Sixers. All right, I get it. So before you come up in here and say, Rome, you just don't get it. Oh, I get it. I get it. But it's still a terrible look to get humiliated like that by the New Yorkers, who you hate, on national TV in a massive game. No matter what issue you have with your team. I don't care how disgruntled you are, Philly fan. I mean, let's be real. When are you not disgruntled? And Philly fan, you know I'm not coming for you. Well, I am today. But I love you. You know this. I love you, and this is why I've got to give it to you straight. Yesterday was a straight-up disgrace. How do you let New York get over on you like that? Do you even realize that this is the first time you've had the Knicks in a playoff series since 1989? And they swept your asses in that series 35 years ago. So this series was supposed to be the revenge, 35 years in the making, against your hated rivals in that hated city up the road. This series was supposed to be about you getting yours. It was not supposed to be about the Sixers getting abandoned in their own house and letting those maniacs from New York completely take over your house. I mean, listen to this. These are actual FMB chants in your own house. Except they weren't saying FMB. They were really F-bombing this dude. Actually, they were saying that. Again, that's Philly. That was not Madison Square Garden. That was not outside the garden. That was inside your house. That's your turf, Philly fan. Your turf sounded louder than 7th Avenue. Your turf sounded like the home base of the Knicks fan club. At least those maniac Knicks fans finally have a new target. They've been so hung up on Trae Young for years. They finally found somebody new to F-bomb. Philly fan, like, I can't believe that. I can't believe you let that happen. I can't believe you let New York invade your home like that. Philly fan, the reason I love you is because you don't pull weak crap like that. We know that you hate most things, but at least you show up in person to chuck your batteries, or to boo Santa, or to boo your own injured players. So no, I can't get on Joel Embiid for this take after the game. He didn't try and hide it. He was upset about it, and I understand why he was upset about it. He said, quote, "I love our fans. I think it's unfortunate. I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing." Obviously, you've got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road, but I've never seen it. I've been here for 10 years. Yeah, it kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. They've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. Yeah, it's not okay. End of quote. But he's not calling them out. He actually is calling them out. Big time. He's absolutely calling you out, Philly fan. And to me, understandably so. He's right. It's not okay. It is unfortunate. He is calling you out, and so am I. I mean, no. The season's not working out great. But you already gave up on it before the biggest game of the season. You weren't down 3-0. You were down 2-1, and the reason you were down 2-1 is because your busted-up MVP was out there dropping 50 on the Knicks to get you back in this series. You all watch, and again, before you tell me I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, fine. I'll even own that. Come and enlighten me. Straighten me out. Because here's what I don't get. You all saw Joel go out there and pour his heart out in game 3, give you 50 on a bum knee and a half drooping face. And somehow your collective response to that was, bleep this team. I'm not going back on Sunday. Somehow, Philly, you watched Joe leave it all out there in game 3, and your main takeaway essentially sounded like this. Listen, I hate telling fans how to fan. Man, especially you, Philly fan. You're the last fan that I want to tell how to fan. However, you get a hell of a lot of credit around here, Philly fan. A hell of a lot of credit around here. I've always got your back, Philly fan. Because you don't pull garbage like this. You eat fresh horse crap to celebrate your championships. You shimmy up Chris Goad light poles. You hammer toss empty Grey Goose bottles. But you don't leave your teams for dead. You show up. And you sure as hell don't bow down to New York. And you don't leave your MVPs hanging like that. Man, that's minor league. That's small time. That's Lil Bro Energy, Philly. I never thought that I would say that about you. Lil Bro Energy. You might think that you deserve a better basketball team. You might think you deserve a better superstar. But your actions yesterday do not suggest that at all. They don't jive with that. They don't back that up. Your actions yesterday say that you don't even deserve the team and the superstar you have. What did you do with those tickets? Did you sell out? Did you sell those tickets? How much did you get for those tickets? I thought you couldn't put a price on being a Philly fan. How did New York, of all people and places, invading your house and F-bombing your MVP, who's out there with a bum leg and a droopy face? I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So, Philly fan, I'll even own that I'm wrong, but enlighten me. Explain to me how you can abandon your team and that guy and why you're so down on them. And don't tell me it's because, well, look at the scoreboard, Rome. You were in it. You didn't know the scoreboard before the game was played. You were back in that series. What, you knew you were going to lose? So you just abandoned the team? It was 2-1. I don't get it. I do not get it. This guy will explain. Well, I'll save this. Philly fan, let me give you some time through the break to respond and enlighten me. Because you know I always pick you up. I always hype you up. I'm fascinated with all things Philly fan. Follow me on this. Hey, cameraman, follow me on this. I'm all things Philly fan except that. I don't get that.
Are you following me, camera guy?
But I'm going to give you a chance to enlighten me and explain yourselves. How did you abandon that team and that guy yesterday? And more importantly, let New York come into your house, eat your food, drink your beer, get with your significant others, F-bomb your MVP. Man, they could not have been more. Since when is anybody comfortable in Philly fans' house? Let alone that comfortable, that enemy, sleeping in your bed, drinking your booze, eating your grub, F-bombing your MVP. How did that happen? The Knicks couldn't have been any more comfortable. When we come back, dial me in. Let me know. Let me know how it is, Philly fan. Because I don't get it. I admit it. Buzzer. Alvy, get ready. Buzzer beating slam dunks. Surprising steals, clutch three-pointers. Basketball playoffs are filled with amazing moments like these. You can make your own with play or payoffs up to 100 times your initial deposit. With Prize Picks, select two or more picks, pick more or less on their projected stats, submit your lineup. You could turn $10 into $1,000 with just four correct picks this postseason. You can choose from traditional stats by selecting more or less on points or assists, or more unique ones like getting a dunk. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks America's number one fantasy sports app. Join the Prize Picks community of over 3 million users who've already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit of up to $100. Just download the Prize Picks app, like I have. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. That's code ROME, R-O-M-E on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It is that easy. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Alvin, do you have a prize pick?
Hey, Jim. I do.
Hey, Alvin.
I have four.
Yes!
I have LeBron James in an elimination game, more than 21.5 points. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, more than 6.5 points. Chet Holmgren, more than 1.5 three-pointers. And finally, Nikola Jovic of the Heat, more than 9 points.
Oh, wow, dude, run it back. I like it.
LeBron, more than 21.5 points. KCP, Murray's dinged up, so more than six and a half points. Chet Holmgren, more than 1.5 three-pointers. And Nikola Jovic of the Heat, more than 9 points.
Love it, dude. Nice job. Screenshot me. Alvin DeLauro getting nice without the attitude of the big head. He's not doing me a huge favor. He's just being smart. He's got a much more upbeat personality than the head. Not that I'm comparing you two. Good job, Alvy. Prize picks. Go get some. Time now for a sports update. Here it is. ATP, it is time to answer your Ask the Pros question where you submit a question to, and this changed, at Jim Rome using the hashtag Ask the Pros on X, still sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, and by the way, I've gotten some incredibly sweet O'Reilly swag in the past week. So nice. It's tight, man. I can't wait till we're streaming again. At nice, actor nice, nice. BP2 writes, when the Jim Rome Show goes live on X, will Cindy be back with the XR4Ti? Hashtag ask the pros. Absolutely. Cindy's so sharp. This is the only theme song that gives Chalks a run for its money. But nothing will ever beat Chalk. There's Forrester in the background, hoovering. Not really sure what that has to do with anything. You know what I think that is? I think that's the genie coming out of the bottle sound effect, which sounds like Forrester. Anyway, yes, Cindy will be back. That's the plan. Cindy's so good at her job. The thing about Cindy, not only is she so good at her job,
she's better
at most of our jobs than we are at our jobs. She's like that. That's how it is. Let's see here. Ian McLean. Hey, Jim, besides Old Trapper, what is in your pantry that you sometimes raid late at night? Ian and the Natty. Yes. The answer is yes. Whatever's in there, brah. Which is why I always tell DJ, get it out of the house. I almost went profanity right there. Yeah, if you noticed, and I never have, you've never heard me drop a four-letter bomb. I almost did right there because that's so personal to me. Get it out of the house. DJ will say, Jimmy. I'm like, what did I tell you? If it's there, I will find it. She's like, what did you eat? I'm like, if it's in the house, I'll find it. Just don't bring it in the house. And then it's not an issue. I will never leave the house in search of that crack, that poison. But if it's in the house, it's going down my...
Crack is whack.
Yeah, it is whack. Eric on the South Side. Hi, Jim. Just curious. How are Cody the Ragdoll Legend and Sapphire doing? Do you have any updates to share? I did. I posted a pic on the story. All right, here's the actual truth. Sapphire's not doing great. Sapphire used to be the super fat cat and got sick and has lost at least half his body weight. It's very sad. He's kind of a bony, scrawny thing now. But, has this amazing attitude. Super upbeat cat. Super happy cat. But eats a lot and can't keep any of the weight on. So that leads me to believe I'm no vet. But he's not right. He's not good. And believe me, we take both these cats to the vet all the time. all the time. They're on serious meds. They get their injections. Janet's always putting meds in their ear. So Sapphire is super happy and super, super loving cat, but not doing great physically. Cody the ragdoll legend looks like a million. Still has a bad attitude. Still thinks he's all that. Being extremely clingy lately. But they're both like, I thought they were 16. DJ says they're 14. I think they're 16. But they're hanging in.
We see cat, mate.
They're hanging in. I saw the ragdoll last night try to choke Sapphire out. Had to come down on him hard. Sapphire never starts anything, ever. Cody just is like a bipolar cat, man. He's super cool, super sweet, super clingy. And then all of a sudden, he's like violent. And remember, Cody nearly killed Sapphire once. He attacked him, and Sapphire got really, really ill and almost died. I'm like, I don't even understand the notion behind it. Like, they were best buds for a decade. And I almost did something crazy. I said to Dodger Jano, this type of thing does exist. There are, like, cat psychologists. I want to throw some money at that. I want to know what the hell is the matter with that cat. What are you doing attacking your bro? You damn near killed your bro. And now you won't come around your bro. And your bro's looking at you like, what? What happened? Like, I need to know. There you go. Died, though. Get your vehicle looking its best with Grios Garage Appearance Products. Save right now in store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Save by $5 when you buy any two Grios Garage Appearance Products during Clean Car Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, if I didn't get your call today, take a shot again tomorrow. Great interview day, though. Robert Griffin III, Thomas Dimitroff. More of the same tomorrow. I want to thank my XR4TI. We are in a period of transition as we get ready for the big launch. And we're down a body or two. And the ones we have are killing it. Great job, XR4TI. See you tomorrow, Rob.